We're very happy this morning to have the service of our brother Balco from West Newton, Pennsylvania. And his subject for us at this time is Built Upon the Rock. Built Upon the Rock. Brother Balco.
Thank you, Brother Steve, and good morning, brethren. Thank you. We're happy to be here. We enjoyed our sweet day of fellowship yesterday, and we're happy today and looking forward to another day of spending some time with all of you. Again, we extend the love of your brethren in every place, those we have come to meet and fellowship with in the last few months, and they all do send their love to the brethren wherever we go, and they appreciate your prayers, and they pray for all of you. For our discussion this morning, we're going to be quoting from Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 24th and the 27th verses. Our Lord Jesus, we recall when he concluded his Sermon on the Mount, the Master closed that sermon with a parable. And his parable, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and winds blew, and beat upon that house, and great was the fall of it. Now these are expressions of a parable which has very much meaning. Needless to say, when the master had finished speaking, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught with authority and not as the scribes. Very few would be able to grasp the meaning, the true meaning of this lesson. In Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 48, we are given insight into this parable. Here, the wise man digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And against this structure, the forces of nature could not prevail because the foundation was so strong. Before my retirement, I was engaged in the construction industry, and some of you brethren perhaps were also engaged in this same line of work, and you'll know what of I am speaking. The importance of a strong foundation was always stressed, and to me, it was always the most important thing, because in the course of my years, I've heard of buildings which collapsed, bridges which collapsed, because of inadequate foundation. In most cases, that's exactly what it was. The foundation of those buildings and bridges were not placed on a solid rock foundation. And so, in the course of years, I always looked for that firm, strong rock foundation in whatever I did. Sometimes it took an excess of what was necessary to reach that foundation, but it always paid off. And it made no difference in whatever we were erecting, whether it was a house, whether it was a power plant, whether it was a bridge or school or a skyscraper, whatever it was always necessary to go after that rock foundation. all required a solid base. And sometimes the process of achieving that solid base meant the drilling would be necessary to go hundreds of feet down into the earth to there we might achieve a solid rock foundation. The task was time consuming, the task was costly, and the task required much hard work and patience and persistence. It comes sometimes and says, well, it looks pretty good. Maybe it's strong enough. We ought to stop right there and we go ahead because, you know, we're running beyond cost. And we ought to maybe think about it. But, you know, that thought was always back in my mind. No, we better go a little bit more. We better get secure. That once we hit that solid rock, now we know where we are. And if just a matter of just a little bit, maybe a few feet or less, if we weren't on that rock, that makes a difference between the safe structure and an unsafe one. Only when that solid base of, was achieved did we feel safe now to begin the erection of that building. Without this carefulness, there could have been a disaster, could have cost lives. And we do hear occasionally, you've probably read occasionally, where some building has collapsed and numerous workers have lost their lives because of the improper construction method. So well did our master use this illustration to emphasize the building of something more than lasting, more than natural, a natural house, or more than a structure. The master is telling us that whosoever hears the call to follow his footsteps must adhere to a certain building code, so to speak. And those of you who are in the building industry would know what I'm talking about, this building code. It was sort of the Bible of the builder. And that code you had to follow. And if you deviated from it, you answered for it. And it was a costly thing for you to deviate from this code. First, the master tells us he must lay a strong foundation. He must lay a rock foundation. In Isaiah, the 28th chapter, the 16th verse, we read, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he must believe and shall not make haste. Now, Peter identified this rock, this stone, when he spoke to the nation of Israel after the death of our Lord Jesus. In Acts, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 10th and to the 12th verses. And the Apostle Peter tells us, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And Peter was laying it on the line, declaring that Jesus was the stone that God had set. And now this is the foundation. But he told Israel, but you, Israel, you rejected this stone that God has laid for you. You considered him unfit, and you killed him. But God has raised him from the dead, For he was indeed that solid rock, the only name by which any can gain life or salvation. Once you have accepted Jesus as the foundation, the building work only now begins. You know, there are those who think that they have accepted Christ, now they're saved. Now forever they're saved, just by accepting Christ. Not realizing that by accepting, that was only the start. That was only the beginning. It took much preparation to get to that solid rock. And that doesn't stop right there. Once you've achieved a solid rock base, you don't stop and say, well, I built my house. You only went to that solid base to start. And that's what we did with Jesus. We come to that rock and established in our hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must believe that He is the Son of God. You know, when I make that statement, it seems to me, why should I say that? The brethren all know that. But everybody doesn't know that. And we take that for granted because we know it and we believe it. But everybody doesn't know that, and everybody doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who lived and died, was raised from the dead, and given divine nature as a reward for his faithfulness in this life of sacrifice. Jesus, the Son of God, not a part of the Godhead. As I explained in one of my discourses earlier down here, that I had a meeting with one of the Presbyterian ministers in my hometown. And he wanted to know what I, because I was going to use his church for a wedding. And he wanted to know some of my views as to their orthodox view of the Presbyterian. And he found out that I didn't believe in the Godhead. That God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Ghost, three in one. They don't use the ghost, which I was surprised. But they refer to the Holy Spirit, but that's all one. And I said, no, I believe that the Father is one, and Jesus is His Son, that's two, and the Holy Spirit is His power, as it worketh in us. And right away, he thought I was a Jehovah's Witness. He said, oh, you're a Jehovah's Witness. I said, now, did I say that? Had I been a Jehovah's Witness, I wouldn't have come after his church. They have their own. But we had a nice discussion, and of course, you know, we didn't agree. So it's not, we should not be surprised that the world does not believe in the Heavenly Father and His Son like we do. But that He is that living Son of God who gave Himself a ransom for all. With this as the firm basis of our belief, we can start to build the structure of our faith. Peter admonishes us in 1 Peter 2 and 4, and I'm quoting from the Dialogue in case you're reading the King James. Peter says, draw near to Him, Christ, the living stone, rejected by men, but by God chosen. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, the Godhead is a foundation laid by men. The Trinitarian theory is a foundation laid by men. And all these nominal Christian foundations are laid by men. They are not laid by God. Because if you search out their foundation, you will find out that Jesus and God are not separate beings. Therefore, how could they have a firm foundation? As soon as the storms and the winds begin to shake, their building collapses and great as the Lord said in his parable, great is the fall of that house. And what's happening in the world today? What's happening in Christianity today? Isn't their building being shaken? Isn't that house shaking? Being shaken off of its foundation because they are not built upon that solid rock, that Jesus is the Son of God. They would say that in some sense of the word, but they don't really believe that. And this is indeed the foundation that will not sink, will not be washed away or cause the collapse of the structure of faith. And you know, there's going to come a time in your life that you're going to need that. You're going to need that structure. You're going to need to call upon that very fact that Jesus is the Son of God. It will be called upon in your life more than one time to keep that faith and to stick with it. And it will be hard sometime to stick with that fact. It may cause you much consternation in the world to stand up for the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, because nobody else believes it. Yes. But even as I stated from my personal building experiences, brethren, as much care has to be used in the erection or to secure a sturdy foundation, so there has to be much care in erecting upon that foundation. You don't just go and you remember the thought where it says, for what man, having decided to build, hasn't counted the cost of that building? That am I going to be able to finish it? Am I going to start this building and then get about halfway through and have to quit? Because he didn't count the cost. He didn't have enough to give to pay for it. Great is the fall of that house. Once we have accepted beyond a doubt that Jesus is the foundation, that Jesus is the way to gain salvation, we must build our faith upon that basis with durable materials. Paul tells us that we are to build with gold and silver and precious stones. Well, I don't have much gold, and I don't have much silver, and I don't have any precious stones. I got a gold ring or something like that, isn't too much. And I'm sure most of you have something like that. And I don't think, and I know you don't, that this is what he was talking about. Where could we possibly find such costly and lasting material with gold and silver and precious stones? Only in his word. That's what he's talking about. Right in that Bible. Right in the word of God. For Paul is not referring to these natural things of earth, which are but loss and dross compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and him crucified. But Paul is referring to the gems of the divine word of God. The traditions of men, the desires of the flesh, the speculations and so forth of the world must be rejected, for they are compared to the flimsy materials of hay, wood, and stubble. Some may build on doing right, and that's honorable. There are many people who devote their life and sacrifice their life and die by trying to do good, by trying to do right, and by spending their entire life of doing good acts. Is that sufficient that they might enter the heavenly realm of God's kingdom, the spiritual realm? I don't think so. Unless that life that they are living goes hand in hand with the scriptures. He died for our sins, It is by his stripes that we are healed. Still, brethren, there are others who build their hope on salvation. The fact that God is love, and we know God is love, but God is also just and wise and powerful. And some feel that because God is love, God must save everyone, irregardless of the individual's choice. And I'm sure you've heard some say that. In Exodus, the 34th chapter, verse 7, tells us, God, he will by no means clear the guilty. By no means will he clear the guilty. If you're guilty, you will pay. And you know, that's been many, many instances down through the time when God was dealing with Israel, you know, when some kings were good, and God visited to the third and fourth generation his favor. But when one king was bad, he also visited to the third and the fourth generation his wrath. And no one who did evil escaped it. No one. You know, David as a king, he did something that was displeasing to God. He didn't get away with it. He had to pay. And that's recorded through history. That's recorded through the Bible. That to do these things against God, God made them account for it. And you know, that's no different today. You will be accounted for what you do. If you do honorable and justly with your brethren, God will account it for you, and he will visit that to your children and to your children's children. But if you do evil, if you do things that are not pleasing to God in your life, it will become evident not only for you, but to other generations. And that is true. You know, God, because the love of God did provide the means of salvation, his beloved Son, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There are those, too, who believe, and they build their structure of faith solely on the justice of God, believing that God must save all men. Since he brought the penalty of death upon all men, now he is required by his justice to save all men. This belief, this theory, is but another of the flimsy, inferior building materials that Christianity uses to build their house. And again, when these storms come, when these conditions come that they cannot call upon their faith to help them during the storm, the house begins to crumble. And they are to be rejected and to be replaced by this precious gem, as found in Isaiah 28:16. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. Now Isaiah recorded it, but Isaiah didn't understand it. But God told Isaiah, write these words. And he wrote the words of God. And he is. Though we readily admit, brethren, that Jesus was a noble man, as the nominal Christianity are apt to agree, and they teach it, and some go beyond that, And they admit that he was a great teacher. But that's not sufficient for a true faith structure. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of this earth. Not only man, but the sin of the whole earth is being taken away by this Lamb of God. And just how important is this statement? Consider Paul's words in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 3 and 4. How important did Paul consider this statement? How important should we consider Paul's statement? I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received first of all. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And as a result of this basic truth, the rest of the plan of God flows in a harmonious manner, because this is the foundation. This is what you build on. And once you build on that foundation, no storms of the adversary will ever destroy this structure. It will never fall. Having laid hold upon the gems of truth, we can see the depths of the riches, both of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Having given our lives in consecration to do his will, we know that there is no variableness or shadow of turning in God's dealings. None whatsoever. We can depend on God for eternity. We can depend that what he says is truth, it will be so. No matter what comes on this earth, no matter what experience we might have, no matter how much suffering we might have, God's word is true. You cannot shake our foundation. You cannot. But the foundations of the Christianity as a whole has been shaken for generations, and it has come and it has gone and has fallen by the wayside. As the Holy Spirit works within the heart of the consecrated, it enables one to put away the errors and the traditions of men. And this takes time. It takes all your life, from the beginning of this to the end of it. You don't hear the truth today and all of a sudden that's it. No, it takes a long time. These, as Jesus stated, cannot, will not, those who have steeped themselves in error and traditions of men cannot and will not withstand the storms of testing, the storms of the trials of life. And John, the first, in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, John is telling us that whosoever is begotten of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That is the victory. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, that's such a simple truth. That's such a simple statement. You wonder sometime in amazement, perhaps, why doesn't everybody see that? That simple statement. There's nothing deep about that. It's a simple statement. That Jesus is the Son of God who died as its Redeemer. You know, brethren, we see the necessity of laying that solid foundation. What is it that will gain the victory for the follower of the Lord? I believe it can be summed up in this manner. First of all, uttermost, believe that he is the Son of God. To search out and to know the will of God, and to know His doctrine, and to obey that will and the precepts of His Word, to develop a character unto that dear Son of God, to be faithful even unto death. These five things. Now you notice, I didn't stress the fact that you have to gain all knowledge. Because I don't feel that God holds that without the Heavenly Father knows everything. We don't have to know everything. But we have to be like His Son. Lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written to do Thy will, O my God. And that's what we want to do. We want to do the will of God, whatever that will may be. We know that faith built upon knowledge, yet lacking obedience to His Word, will not gain victory. You can have all the knowledge that is possible for a human being to possess. And if you have not faith and obedience, you will not achieve a victory. Neither will knowledge without the fruits of the Spirit gain victory. No, because the Father is looking for a little flock who knew His will, who know His Word, and who develop a character like His Son. That is, in harmony with His teachings. And this means obedience to that word, to the best of one's ability. In His parable of the house built upon a rock, the Master states that severe elements would prevail against it. Didn't He say that? Now you know that if you're building this house in Jesus, that you must expect these severe elements to prevail against it. The Lord said it would be. He said, if you're going to build in my Son, build your faith structure so strongly that when these elements come, and they will, He's telling you they will come. So it should not surprise you when you do go through seasons of difficulties and trial and pain and suffering. Because God said it will be, all to prove your love and faith and obedience. And so it is with our faith. If it is built upon the rock, Jesus, and enforced with the precious gems of His Word, the trials and testings will not cause our faith to fail. And that's the thing. The trials and testings that you're going to have are not there to cause you to fail, but they are there to build you up, to make you stronger, to make you appreciate more the Heavenly Father's dealing with you. Excuse me. You know that when you see these things taking place in your life, that God is dealing with you. And that knowledge alone should give you encouragement and strength to endure. You know, in these last days, we see the name of God and we see the name of His Son slandered by all manners of things. We see His Word and His commandments assailed and rendered worthless for this modern age that we are living in. They heard it expressed that, well, Jesus, He was the God of the ancient Jews. So what? You see how some people look at Him? He was in old time. This is modern time. In old times, He was Jews' God. But that was long ago. We see evil appear as good, and good appear as evil. Never before in the history of man has this condition been so prevalent as it is on the earth today. Upholders of the truth may be branded as evil slaves, or may be branded as belonging to a cult. Has anyone branded you lately as being of a cult? Yes, it's happened. It happens not only amongst the people, it happens in our courts. The fire, the distress that will try every man's work of what sort it is. Your faith, your work will be tried to its utmost of whatever your faith is based on. Now, dear brethren, we are promised that if we have laid a sure foundation and build upon that sure foundation, Jesus, with these precious gems of truth, we will be able to stand any trial, any testing that may be permitted. You know, when I was younger, I used to think of that statement. Take no thought for what you will say and when you will be accosted. I used to think about that. Well, if I don't take no thought about it, how am I going to be able to answer whenever the situation comes? But in our studies, in our assembling ourselves together, in coming together, and there is the secret. You must not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You cannot sit at home and study and reason with yourself. You can't do it, because you will come up with things that you had no idea were possible. Because you cannot reason by yourself alone. You must reason with others, and you must study the Word of God and be prepared that when these seasons of trial and affliction come, you are able, because then your mind will be able to answer, and you'll be surprised of how these things will come out as you discuss and as you explain, and the joy that will come out of your heart in explaining the Word of God to an ear that has never heard, or to an eye that has never seen the promises of God. The truth will be able to stand any trial, any test that will become or be permitted in your life, because it is the truth. Though we are in the midst of a testing time, and though the storms may prevail, let us take hold of that precious promise, for thou art my rock, and thou art my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me, guide me, teach me, because thou art my God. And the rain descended, and the scriptures tell us, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they are. The rains are coming, and they are right now on the earth. This time of trouble, this great trouble that is in the earth, and it's getting worse. Every day it's getting worse. And the winds are blowing, the winds of all kinds of false doctrine, and the winds of anarchy are blowing in the earth, and they're covering the earth. And they're beating upon that house. They're beating upon that house of faith that you have built. And be faithful, brethren, because the scripture tells us, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. This house will never fall. This house will endure for eternity. This house will go beyond the veil and there be glorified with the Heavenly Father in all the glory that He has promised, because you built that house on His Son, that He is the Son of God who gave Himself a ransom for all. May the Lord continue to bless all of you as you seek to develop this structure, to build it, and have faith in it. And may each one of you build in faith and encourage one another to build that house of that wonderful structure. And may the Lord bless you all. Amen.
We thank you, Brother Mike, for that discussion of the solid rock. and are building upon that rock. We appreciate those thoughts and admonitions very much. We're going to conclude this portion of our service this morning, and we have a half an hour intermission. We ask that you be promptly back in your seats at 10:30 for our praise and testimony meeting, and we look forward to your testimonies to the Lord's goodness in your lives. And then immediately following our testimony meeting will be served by Brother David Bruce. And Brother Mike will close this session with prayer.
Our loving Father, hallowed be thy holy name. May thy kingdom come. May thy will be done in all the earth. Loving Father, we thank thee for the gift of thy precious Son, this solid rock, whom thou hast revealed unto us and given us the opportunity, the wonderful privilege, that we might build upon this wonderful faith and this wonderful structure. We thank thee, loving Father, thou hast revealed unto us these things that are necessary, that we may do that are pleasing unto thee. We thank you for this season of fellowship, that we might be encouraged, that we might be strengthened one with another to continue to walk in this narrow way. We thank thee for each heart that's bowed here before thee this morning, for their dear hearts and the privilege of coming together and to knowing one another and to rejoicing with one another in this precious faith. We thank thee, loving Father, for thy children throughout the earth, those who are known and unknown unto us, those dear hearts who are undergoing seasons of suffering and pain and sorrow, those dear ones who are isolated, that thou would suit a blessing to them, Father, that they may be encouraged to continue to walk with thee throughout their lives. Forgive us, loving Father, of our stammering tongues, of anything we have said that was amiss, that thou would blot it from our hearts. Thou would further encourage us and instruct us in thy ways, for thy ways are righteous. We ask thee.